peace and love, peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out. Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode number 64. My name is Brooke Taylor. Welcome to a new month. July is here, the month dedicated to the most precious blood. It was established by Pope Pius IX in 1849. The early fathers say that the church was born from the pierced side of Christ. Isn't that beautiful? And that the sacraments were brought forth through his blood. And so this is a month to celebrate, to think about that, to reflect on what exactly that means. We read in the book of Romans 5:9, we are justified by his blood. Hebrews 13:12, and so Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people by his blood, suffered outside the gate. 1 John 1:7, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. Welcome to July. Welcome to a beautiful month. And this episode of Good Things Radio, we're going to focus a little bit on some of the spiritual gems like that, tucked into the month of July, as well as bad words and wrinkles. So it's a little bit of an eclectic combination today, and we're just going to jump right in. We're going to step on the gas and go. So if you would join me in prayer, as we always do, by the sign we are marked and sealed and saved, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Dear Holy Spirit, my God, teach me to speak wisely. Let me avoid useless thoughts and useless conversations. Help me to speak often for you. May my words always bring consolation to those in sorrow and guidance to those in need. Take my lips and make them yours. Take possession of my mind and make it an instrument of your goodness and a channel of truth, washed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So, okay, I have my planner here, and as I attempt, like I can tell my planner's very unorganized, my planner, every month in the beginning of, you know, a new calendar flip, I always try to conquer my calendar. That is my fresh goal every month. And so to try to remember every birthday, write down every appointment, build in prayer time. And of course, I remember my kids' birthdays. But even like this past weekend, we celebrated my son Garrett's baptism anniversary. And when you have a lot of kids or a big family or neighbors, whatever, you don't want to leave anybody out. So every month I try to just make sure I've got everybody. And usually I miss somebody, but that's always my goal. That sounds terrible. I try not to miss anybody, but relatives or a friend, or sometimes it won't be until I log on to Facebook and it's like, oh my goodness, it's so-and-so's birthday today. So I am grateful for that handy feature on Facebook, but I'm just happy every month for another opportunity to start fresh. And July, I think, is a fun one. I'm going to put my planner over here. But what I did was highlight some saint feast days so that we can talk about that and plan ahead. I have an altar, put a dedication to that particular saint on that day, or as a family, we read that story. Even if it's just on my little app, my Laudate app, and we pull it up, you know, the story, or if it's my Amy Wellborn book and we pull out that saint story. So here are, for the July month, some of the highlights for the feast days. July 6th, the feast of Saint Maria Goretti. I mean, her story is extraordinary. So that alone, if you don't know her story, is an invitation to read about her life. And I'll just tell you the cliff notes. But she was a young girl, a young woman in Italy. Her neighbor lusted after her. He desired her. So he broke into the home when her family was away, but she was home, and tried to assault her. When she rejected him, he stabbed her and she died. But before she passed away, she forgave him. And she was canonized, I think one of the only times that a saint's mother was actually at the canonization, which is pretty amazing. So her story is worth not only reading about, but getting to know her and asking for her intercession. So that's on July 6th. July 14th, the feast of St. Kateri Tekakwitha, the Lily of the Mohawks. She is near and dear to my heart. When I was growing up, I knew a girl named Kateri, and I never realized that she was named after a saint. Well, and she just is a recent saint, canonized last year. Then we have July 16th, the feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. July 22nd, St. Mary Magdalene, a woman I can very much relate to in the Bible, and I know a lot of women can. man, and that's why we love her so much. Also, St. Bridget of Sweden on July 23rd. July 25th, St. James the Greater. July 25th, St. Christopher. The 26th, the Feast of St. Anne, which of course is Our Lady, Blessed Mother's Mom. And then July 31st, St. Ignatius of Loyola, which is the founder of the Jesuits, along with his friend, St. Francis Xavier. So those are just a few people to study and learn about, to love and ask for their intercession as we go through the month of July.
Well, the mail must go through. The mail must go through. No matter if it rains or snows, the mail must go through. I said the mail.
This is Vicki. I'm so excited to hear about the next Arise retreat and the lineup. That's awesome and amazing, and I can't wait. And I feel so blessed and so grateful that I was able to attend the first retreat, especially because of the community of women that were developed and all the relationships that have blossomed since then, especially in the Facebook page. So keep doing what you do best, and congratulations on your new job. God bless.
It's Lisa from Colorado, and I just wanted to say I'm really excited about the lineup that you have for the new Arise retreat coming up, and I just think that it's going to be fantastic. I hope to get back out there for the Arise retreat to your city, and I also want to wish you well in your new job. I think that that is such a great thing that you're going to experience, especially with all the things coming to your area. So I wanted to wish you blessings on your family and for your new job, and I wanted to wish your daughter Carolina a happy birthday. So take care, Brooke.
Thank you. Oh, how I love you both, ladies. God bless you. And yes, in case you missed it, in episode number 63, there was a lot of bean spillage about Arise 2017, our Good Things Radio Women's Retreat, which last year saw women from 15 states fly in, friendships that still remain and are flourishing. So we're going to do it again. That episode was the big reveal. The big lineup was explained, and we still have more coming up, but at least it'll give you the gist, and you can go back and listen to that. It's going to be so good. So it's episode number 63 to hear about the retreat. And as I did mention, also thank you for the kind wishes about the job. I did recently start a new job, and I've been loving it. I feel like I'm probably still in the honeymoon period, but I'm a news anchor at WTAM 1100. It's in Cleveland. It's the number one news radio station in Cleveland. And it's exciting. It's challenging. And because it's part-time, it's also a sweet spot because I am still able to be home, which is what I wanted. That's why I left my job in the first place. But I can dip my toe back in just a little bit for now. So what's interesting is that it is an iHeart media station, which means that there's a big entire cluster of radio stations that are kind of grouped together on the same floor. All of the top five stations in Cleveland essentially are there together in the same building. But you've got every format from rock to country to it's called CHR, which would be KISS, and Hot AC, that's another format it's called. But in that mix of people, of course, it's secular. It's not Christian. So what I've noticed, especially particularly in the newsroom, is a lot of bad language, profanity, and taking the Lord's name in vain that I'm not used to. And so just to kind of paint a picture, in the last 11 years of my life, I worked at a Christian radio station where it was completely pure, clean language. And I didn't realize, I mean, I think at the time I felt blessed and kind of in a bubble, but it didn't, I don't think, hit me how rare and amazing that was until I got into, and maybe it's not, I don't know. I would love to hear from you. What is your workplace like? I would assume if it's at a school or at an office that it would be clean language, but maybe not necessarily. But when you're not around it and then you do start to hear it, obviously at home, I don't hear the kind of language, but now being dropped into this environment, it has been a little bit of a shock. And so I just have been wondering, do I say anything? We do have an employee handbook and we do have a professional environment that we're trying to maintain. But you know what? Radio is different. You've got the shock jock atmosphere. You've got, you know, kind of anything goes in a way, which shouldn't be that way. And there are still standards, broadcast journalistic standards. So I would love to know your feedback. For me, I've just been silently making a prayer of reparation, or I have a couple times actually made the sign of the cross if I've heard the Lord's name taken in vain in a really
profane way. And I'm sure that I look weird. I'm sure that maybe even hearing this, it might sound over the top. But for me, it's just something that I'm sensitive to as a woman, as a Christian, as a mom. I feel like it's a thing of respect. It's a thing of grace and class and professionalism. So I wanted to ask Father Nathan his perspective about this. And what's interesting is I actually recorded this piece with Father Nathan before I started my job, just a few weeks, not knowing that this would actually be something I really would like his feedback on. So I wanted to share it with you. It's about profanity. Padre in your pocket. Here's Father Nathan.
Padre in your pocket. On good things, great deal.
Today's topic is profanity. St. Paul says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt. So we have a responsibility to form our speech in a moral way, but it seems today, maybe it has been for a while, to be cool to have a potty mouth. I mean, you see it in vulgar comedians, you see it in music, movies, literature, and everyday language, and it seems like it doesn't matter if it's male, female, young, or old. I have a friend, my former morning show partner, and he said he was in a Bible study, and there was a guy that they called the cussing Christian because he would come to the Bible study and he would participate, but he used a lot of profanity, and they kind of had a meeting to say, should we ask him to rein it in? Well, no, it's part of who he is. Let him feel comfortable, and if this is the way he expresses himself, it's okay. But I know that it's not that cut and dry. It's a tough question to ask. Is it a sin to use bad language? Is it morally wrong to use words that are considered to be profane?
Well, I found another quote that's even a little bit more direct about this. It comes from Colossians chapter 3. It's the only spot in the Bible, since, again, I work with teenagers and young people all the time, and so they're always asking me this question. I found it in the Bible. Here's where it says. It's Colossians 3:8. But now do you also put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, abusive language, and foul-mouthed utterances. There you are, foul-mouthed utterances. And I like that old translation of it because I think that it speaks well of why it's a problem. Because it's not enough just to say, okay, the Bible said so. Why is it a problem? Two things. Number one, if it's a curse means invoking evil upon someone. There you've really got a problem because you're calling upon the enemy of God and asking his aid to inflict evil upon another person. That's called a curse. And that's a really bad, bad thing to do. Most of this of us are not struggling with that, though. We're struggling more with fits of anger where we say words that are foul. And that's really where the problem comes in. Why is it wrong to curse or to use bad language? It's because it's less than our dignity. The mouth is the doorway of the heart. And if my heart speaks in coarse ways, it's not befitting the heart of a son of God and a daughter of God. And so we need to make sure our speech aligns with our soul. So in that particular case of the fellow, the cursing Christian, I don't think I would have taken the same stance. I think I would have said, let's encourage our brother that he's accepted and loved for who he is and that this is not the major issue in life. But let's also say, hey, you're better than that. Let's get you to be able to express the depths of your heart and its dignity. And if you really have those emotions, which most of us actually do have, and we feel that we should use foul-mouthed utterances, well, we just don't. We have to learn to make our tongue obey our heart. Because if we don't, our heart might obey our tongue. And just by the practice of using that language, we end up giving in to those sentiments. And little by little, our character can be impacted because our language does impact what we say we do, and what we do, we become. So even though it's a small thing, it can actually have an impact on the way that we think and the opinions that we form. St. James tells us if you can control an animal's tongue, you can control the whole animal. And so Christians, he says, if the very first thing that you should do, exercise a discipline over your mouth. Well, in other words, you might have the thoughts, you might have the habits. How can you overcome it? Okay, so I'm hearing you sigh and say, oh, Father, if you only you knew, you know, the things I say when my kids aren't around, and I've always said it, and it's a habit. Okay, here's an easy way you can break that habit. Every time you say a bad word, I want you under your breath or out loud, if you said it, if you can, to actually say the name of Jesus. Like something like, Lord, help me. Or Lord, have mercy. Or Jesus, have mercy on me. There's a little prayer like that. So if you curse out loud in the car, at the car that almost hits you, etc., just even if you bow your head once, you bow your head and say, Jesus, help me. Or Mary, Blessed Mother Mary, help me. Just like that, you whisper under your breath. I guarantee you, in a matter of weeks, you'll have stopped cursing altogether. Because the involuntary, when it's paired with a voluntary, becomes voluntary. And so your mind's going to automatically be linking it with that, and you'll have a control over it before it even hits. Take good heart. You're made for higher things. You're made for more than foul-mouthed utterances. You're made to proclaim and sing his praises, and you can do it. Don't give up.
So you're saying substitute and sanctify and switch it out. And to that point, maybe this is a bit of a rabbit trail, but what if as a man you are with someone and you're at a game and someone is very profusely using profanity? Do we have a moral obligation to stand up and say something? What if a mother's with her child and there's someone, you know, in the grocery store line and they're just letting it fly left and right? Do we just mind our own business? Or should we stand up and say something to defend the weak and the innocent?
What a great question, you know. Gosh, you guys have it hard out there in the world. In the monastery, we just don't swear, and so we have no problems, you know. What I would say on that is, you know, I would be careful about it, because if St. Thomas Aquinas tells us this, he says, give corrections to people at the right time. And in Latin, it's a great phrase, in tempore opportuno. At an opportune time, in tempore opportuno. And so I would say, if you're at a game and a guy is cursing, knowing guys, that's really not the time to say don't curse. Although you can, it all depends. Do you have a moral obligation to do it? I would say no, unless you know the man. If you know the person, then it's different. Then you probably are obliged out of charity because they're way out of line. But if you just have a civic bond with a person, you might want to wait also out of respect for that person, because you're going to do a personal correction in a public way, a public sphere. So there's a balance to be had there. And I would say usually it's going to be a lot more effective if you can pull the person aside or have a personal conversation, which is not confrontational, instead of just doing it off the cuff. But should you say something? You know, I've seen it done. It's kind of neat. I have seen people just say something and people snap too. I also think that one of the best corrections is simply to never do it yourself. I used to work with a roofer on a roofing crew, and there was some pretty bad language used pretty much every sentence that of the entire day. And our roofing crew foreman was a devout Catholic. And I asked him one time, all the men respected him. And I said, what do you do to earn their respect? And he said, I do two things. I wear a clean pair of pants to work every day, and I don't cuss. And because the simple fact that he did not swear when surrounded by a group of men who swore every day, he didn't even have to correct them. They knew he was different. And I would suggest that that's a good way to go about it at the same time.
I know, you're 50. Okay, all right, you can keep up.
50 all right, years old.
Okay, well, I'm not 50, but I am getting older. I'm going to have a birthday next month. And I had a really unpleasant reminder of age this week. Now, I realize by all, you know, standards of when I look back 10, 20, 30 years from now, I'm going to say, what was I thinking? I'm not old, but I'm getting older. And I'm noticing new wrinkles and different things about my body that's changing. And I had this really unpleasant wake-up call about that this week. I was at a friend's house. We were picking blueberries. And it was hot. I was sweaty. I had wore a sleeveless shirt because I knew we were going to be out there in the field just picking blueberries. I didn't care. So then inside afterwards, we were at the kitchen island and my friend took a picture, sent it to me on my cell phone. And when I saw that photo, my heart sank. My arms looked so huge. And I know it sounds superficial. I know it doesn't sound like a big deal, but I thought, what is that? Are those my arms? And yes, we've all had a bad picture, but have you ever had that moment where you see yourself in a picture and you say, is that me? Yes, it is me. Pictures don't lie. And I also had a similar experience at the Arise retreat with a picture. I think Father Nathan actually took it. And I had a kind of a wrap on, and I'm thinking it would be slimming. It was clearly not. And I think on one hand, those are good wake-up calls because you think, okay, something's got to give. This is showing me how I look, and maybe I don't see myself that way all the time. But on the other hand, it is what it is. And also just that moment of just whether it's your face looks older, your body looks bigger, whatever the case might be. And what's interesting is that I was talking to my mom about this because I have also been bothered by, I just got this new moisturizer. It's called Rock. Have you heard of this? ROC? They do. It's in drugstores. But over the years, through watching different beauty bloggers, I heard this is a really good one because it has retinol, and that is proven to help with anti-aging and smoothing lines. And so I bought it last year, and I actually really noticed an improvement, but it's expensive. You have to get just a little tube, and I go to Sam's Club, so they have a day and night, but I thought this actually is really effective. Now, I haven't bought it since, and so I just bought it again, and I was talking to my mom about this, and there's lines above my nose. You know your frown lines between your eyebrows? Well, I learned that they're called the Angry 11s. That's just great. The Angry 11s. So that's not very flattering. But I was talking to my mom about this, and they bother me. And it bothers me that I'm bothered by it because the world is obsessed with youth and beauty, and I do not want to be that. I want a holy detachment where I am just embracing who I am, what I look like, where God has me today, where I put myself today. And if I am heavy, then to work a little bit harder and eat better and work out and exercise if I'm not happy with it. And if I do get a wrinkle that I can't get rid of, well then, oh well. And in our last episode, we talked about tattoos. And I remember hearing wrinkles are like God's natural tattoos for us, the lines that He designs and wants us to have because they're permanent. And then my mom was sharing her frustration. Her mom, my grandma, had thinning hair, and in her 80s, 90s, I mean, all women will and do have thinning hair by that point in their life, but then kind of also balding. And my mom was worried that she might have that as she gets into that stage of life in the next 20 years. And so we kind of lamented all of the unpleasant things of aging, the extra skin that I have around my midsection that never goes away from all the kids that I've had, and stretch marks to cellulite. I mean, we just covered it all. And then my mom said something that I thought was so profound. She said, you know, if you're worried about wrinkles, take out a picture of Mother Teresa and look at her face. I mean, anyone that immediately thinks of Mother Teresa remembers her beautiful, wrinkled, and worn face with this gorgeous smile. And she didn't care if she had Botox or face cream that was $200. She was detached from that. And she had a radiance that was glowing from within. St. Paul tells us that. It's in the book of Colossians. He says, think about the things of heaven rather than the things of this earth. So I just wanted to share that because on one hand, it's part of life. It's part of aging, and I don't enjoy it, but I also see it as a prayer opportunity. Sacred wrinkles, sacred cellulite. Who would have thought? But that is a sign of life and experience and age. And yes, maybe too many donuts, but not necessarily. Because you can be a size 2 and have cellulite. And I think that's the bottom line, is to not buy the lie that we have to look like whatever it is, Taylor Swift or whoever it is at whatever age, but just hold ourselves to the standard that God would have us be. And I think that's always the challenge of feeling beautiful as we are today, feeling feminine. And our beauty comes from the way that we serve, our smile, and the love that we give others, as well as trying to take care of ourselves. But I love this prayer, and I wanted to share it with you before we wrap up today. It's about aging, and I think that it's maybe for a little bit later in life, but it's still a great reminder. And I don't remember who wrote it, but here it is. It's called Prayer on Aging. Lord, you know better than myself that I am growing older and will someday be old. Keep me from being talkative, and particularly from the fatal habit of thinking that I must say something about every subject and on every occasion. Release me from craving to straighten out everyone else's affairs. Make me thoughtful, but not moody, helpful, but not bossy. With my vast store of wisdom, it seems a pity not to use it all, but you know, Laura, that I want a few friends at the end. Keep my mind from the recital of endless details. Give me wings to come to the point. I ask for grace enough to listen to the tales of others' pain, but seal my lips on my own aches and pains. They are increasing, and my love of rehearsing them becomes sweeter as the years go by. I don't know why I'm getting teary-eyed. I dare not ask for improved memory, but for a growing humility and lessening cocksuredness when my memory seems to clash with the memories of others. Teach me the glorious lesson that occasionally it is possible I may be mistaken. Give me the ability to see good things in unexpected places and talents in unexpected people. O Lord, the grace to tell them so. Amen. And with that, I think a great way to wrap up Good Things Radio. I love when she says, give me the ability to see good things in unexpected places. If you know who wrote that, I would love to hear. I think it was Catherine of Siena, but I'm not sure. Either way, it's a hit. I love it and the messages and the truth it contains. And since she started with saying, keep me from the fatal habit of thinking I must have something to say about every subject, I feel like I need to wrap up. So thank you for being a part of episode number 64 of Good Things Radio. It means so much when you reach out. If you have any feedback, shoot us an email at feedback@goodthingsradio.com. Also, thank you, thank you, thank you to all of our Podbean patrons. It's because of you the show continues, and you can become a Podbean patron. It's basically a tip jar program that says I like what you're doing, and you can donate $1 a show, $10 a month, $20. There's no minimum and there's no maximum. Just go to Podbean.com, search for Good Things Radio, and you'll find us. You can also download the app and do it that way as well. Thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studios, for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a producer extraordinaire and wears many, many hats. So to find out more, reach him at CummingHomeStudio.com. And thank you for being a part of episode number 64 of Good Things Radio. All clean living here, wrinkles and no swear words. God bless you. Thank you also to my guest, Father Nathan Cromley. Until next time, friends. God bless you.